Hello, everybody. How are we all doing? Welcome back to Maternity Live. You know, I was thinking a lot about what I wanted to share this week, and it dawned on me that I launched this podcast the day before the world went into lockdown. And so I've been thinking a lot about just how grateful I am to have had the opportunity to share so much during this time in terms of what I'm experiencing, how I'm handling things, and what I am most excited about actually is just kind of the overwhelming response back, where so many people are just sharing with me not only feedback, but their own stories, their own journeys, their own experiences. And it honestly just makes me feel so happy because I'm such a big proponent of getting things out of my head and off my chest and speaking them into existence, because I think they either, one, make me realize that I'm being crazy about something, or two, make me feel validated. And that's exactly what I set out to do with this podcast. So for the sheer fact that that's happening for other people too, just like literally warms the cockles of my heart. So thank you. Thank you all. And secondly, you guys know that I treat every episode of Maternity Live like each is my own child. And I've just been loving having incredible conversations with people that I really respect and admire, where they all share their journey and their experience and impart their wisdom with me and with all of you. And of course, today is no different. I'm so honored to have Andy Grammer, who is an incredible singer, songwriter, and producer, join me on Maternity Live. He and his wife just welcomed their second daughter, Israel Blue, into the world. And we just really go deep on everything, what it's like to have a kid during the quarantine, fatherhood and parenthood, and what his expectations were, and advice he got from people across the board, how he and his wife are doing things their way, which is something I fully, wholeheartedly respect and admire, because I think, you know, I talk a lot about people and their opinions, and I just love when people just do what the fuck they want to do. And just ultimately being a working dad, being a girl dad, obviously the fact that I'm having a girl and hearing his experience raising daughters is just so special. So I'm thrilled to be able to share that conversation with all of you. It is a really good one. I also just wanted to remind everyone that Mother's Day is coming up. And since so many of my listeners are moms and moms-to-be, I wanted to share with you an amazing gift option, especially since it's so hard to see family and friends during this time. And we know how important it is to stay in touch with those that we love now more than ever. So the easiest way to do that is with Skylight, a photo frame you can email photos to anytime and from anywhere. Multiple people can send photos to the frame. It sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. You literally just plug it in, use the touchscreen to connect to your wireless network, and voila. The photos will pop up in the frame in seconds, and it has this awesome black frame, so it looks like a real photo frame that adds a beautiful touch to your home. It has a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen, so you can swipe through photos with your finger and even tap to thank the person who sent a photo. Skylight provides a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so if you don't love your Skylight, they offer you a full refund. I absolutely love my Skylight. I have so many adorable photos from all of my scans and doctor's appointments, and they don't look good in any frame. So I've been using mine as a way to scroll through all the incredible photos from the past 7.5 months of my pregnancy journey, incorporate them into photos of family, friends, Zach, and it's one of my go-to gifts for Mother's Day this year. So as a special holiday offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of Skylight frames when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code LIVE. That's right, to get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter code LIVE. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code LIVE. So let's jump right in. Big topic number one, being considerate. I've actually been thinking a lot about this. As you know, I think about a lot of things very deeply, but I am not here to toot my own horn. I'm just being honest. I feel like in this quarantine time, I have become a more considerate person in the sense that I really allow myself to create more time for family and friends and really think about the future and things that are upcoming and how I'm going to plan for them. Like, if you know anything about me, I am the queen of getting shit done at the 11th hour and pretending that I had it planned for ages when I absolutely did not. But I fully remember being a kid and like waking up early and doing my homework on the bathroom floor, like on the school bus on the way to school. And not for any reason other than that's just kind of how I operate. Like, I like to do things at the last minute. And not that they feel rushed. I guess I just always felt like, I don't even know. I would wake up early and study for tests. I think that I told myself, like, I would retain the information better than if I did it the night before. But I just always remember, like, doing things at the 11th hour, and I still have to this day. So it's like getting gifts for people, or, you know, filling out forms, or even just like when I've had deadlines for work or for school, it's like I will submit the thing the minute before, and I will probably do it 3 minutes before that. But like, it'll still be good. It's just like, that's how my time blocking life operates. It's like, I just do things when they need to get done. I don't like leave time to do them earlier on. And so now that we're in this quarantine, like, one of the things I've been thinking about in May specifically is a very busy month in my family because there are so many birthdays. And it is my husband's birthday in 2 weeks, and it's Margot's birthday, and it's Wine Rib's birthday. And now that we're living in this quarantine time, you know, you don't have access to everything the same way that you would, you know, if the world was operating normally. And it's not like we can go out for dinner, and it's not like I can run down the block and get a present or a card or candles. And even though my husband will be listening to this episode, I hope, you know, I just want him to know. And I just have been thinking a lot about like how I'm planning for things, because you have to plan and also want to make it special and want to make it feel different than just like another day of the two of us at home. So, you know, this not only goes for things like birthdays or Mother's Day or moments in time, but it's really also just about being a good friend. I feel like I think a lot more and text and reach out to people and FaceTime people way more than I ever have. And I think that's also part of like the world slowing down a little bit. We actually have the time to think about others and check in with them and see how they're doing. And I feel like it's been really important to me to actually incorporate that into my life. And I feel like I have like 6 or 7 people that I make sure to text like once or twice a week just to see how they're doing. You know, I spoke a lot early on about people who might have disappointed me as they weren't there for me in the way that I needed them. And I'm kind of just hoping that, you know, we're all using this time as a way to just be there for each other in the best way that we possibly can be. And I just find that like I'm proud of myself and the thoughtful person that I'm becoming, just in terms of, I obviously have a lot going on and I'm busy and I'm doing things, but I do really like focus my energy on making time for people that make time for me. And it always feels good. And I just think doing things that make you feel good, there's nothing better than that. But, you know, I'm just trying to be more thoughtful. I'm trying to plan things out. I'm trying to make things feel special. I'm just trying to be considerate. And I feel like if I do that, then that will happen for me. And by the way, I'm not doing it so that like it will happen for me. I'm just saying like what you put and the energy that you put out in the world is the energy that you get back. And that is the energy that I'm putting out in the world, like just being more considerate. And I find that it feels really good. So that's big topic number one. Big topic number two is something I actually don't think that I've spoken a lot about, but it's just my take in general on maternity clothes. I was very anti-maternity clothes in the beginning of this journey because it was the winter time, and I just kind of found solace in wearing big sweaters or wearing my husband's clothes with leggings and boots and just not really needing to find appropriate things to wear as my belly was growing. And I feel like now that we're living in this time and things are obviously very different, you know, I just wear my sweatshirt and sweatpants around the house. And I just continue to keep stretching out the things that I currently own because I don't really want to spend money on things that are going to be temporary. But, you know, I haven't been able to see my family in quite some time. And obviously I FaceTime with them a lot and I send them pictures. But I decided to put on something tight and like body hugging for the first time earlier this week to just really see my bump in clothes for the first time. And to be honest with you, it was really more so that I could take a picture and send to my family just so that they could see like how I am progressing in my pregnancy. And it honestly made me so happy. It's just like you can't see a bump in a big sweatshirt and sweatpants, so it just makes you feel like ugh all the time. And I've read a lot of things online where it's just like once you really start to embrace the bump, like you just feel so much better about all the changes going on with your body. And I feel like I probably knew that that would happen for me, but I'm just not somebody that ever really wore tight clothes. Like that's not my vibe. And I just always was more so into the flowy sort of oversized look. And that's just like how I'm most comfortable and always have been. But there's something about like really seeing the bump in form-fitting clothes that just like, I feel like I have like totally, it took me 7.5 months, but I totally embraced the bump. And even around my own house now, I've been wearing things that accentuate the bump more, and just, I've like had a total mental shift in my own body now that I've just like really like seen the progress, I guess. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about it because I've seen that people are doing like their own maternity shoots at home. And you know, I never planned to do any of those things, even when the world was normal. Like, I am not big on photos in general, which is actually super funny because every time I go for one of my scans, our baby is also a little bit camera shy, in the sense that she like never really shows her face, or like her legs will be crossed and she doesn't always want to like give the technician what the technician needs. And we always make jokes that like she's just like us because, you know, we hate to take photos even though we do it when we have to. But I just feel like I never documented the progress week to week like people did taking photos. I don't have that many photos like being pregnant because I'm just like pregnant. So I'm just living my life and not taking photos. But it kind of made me start to rethink how I approach that. I feel like I came at it with like, I would never do a maternity shoot. I'm not taking pictures of my belly every week, you know. And I just immediately think that like that's how it's just going to be. And I kind of have been having a little bit of a mental shift where I'm like, you know, maybe I should embrace it more because it obviously like is so exciting and it's just like such a beautiful thing to see and witness. I actually turned to Zach the other night and I was like, do you think that maybe we should think about like staging our own little maternity shoot? And he was like, honestly, I will do it if you want to do it, but I didn't really think you wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah, I didn't really want to do it until now. I'm kind of into the idea. I think it's also just like special and cool, even if it's just for us. But I'll keep you posted on how I progress on those thoughts. I think it's just more so, you know, one, I did actually decide to buy like a few new things, like more so loungewear than anything else, but things that will actually like fit with the bump and not just be like super oversized. Just because I feel like it also makes me feel better and more productive and like just more engaged, even like professionally or when I'm on calls or whatnot, if I just like feel good. And I just like wasn't, you know, you can't really feel good in sweatshirt and sweatpants every day. And now it's just like that I really can like see the bump and I'm wearing clothes that make the bump really come to life. I just feel like I'm all in, you guys. I'm fully embraced. So that's kind of been a new development on my end. And I'm excited to continue to take you along the journey. I feel like a lot of people, I've read a lot of things where people kind of like have this mental shift where they like just start to embrace the bump once and for all. And to be honest with you, I feel like it probably took me a little bit longer than most people just because, you know, like I didn't start with a flat belly. So it's like, okay, belly is belly, but it's really like kind of crazy and wild to see. And just also that plus the movement plus like going to the doctor and the scans and seeing her, it's just like it's really becoming more and more real. And you know, sometimes I talk about how like pregnancy is just like so long and it's like, you know, crazy journey of just like feels like it's never gonna be here. But the more I think about it, it's like it's coming up quick and I'm kind of like shell-shocked and mind blown that it's like gonna be here soon. I don't know. It's crazy, guys. It's crazy. The bump, just like I should have embraced it sooner. Like I'm admitting that I should have, but you live and learn, you guys. You live and learn. Okay, big topic number three, also just getting like super vulnerable here, but it's just so funny. I knew that I wanted to talk about this from the second it happened, but I apparently snore now and it's absolutely wild. I mean, I never snored, you know, like some deep breathing if I have like a little congestion or if I have a cold or something, but my husband is a world-class snorer, like literally so loud. I have probably punched him in his sleep maybe 300 million times. And I have like a whole routine of like, you know, where I punch him and then I push him because if he sleeps on his back, he snores, but if he sleeps on his side, he doesn't. And, you know, sometimes he'll be on his back and I'll be like, babe, you got to turn on your side. And he'll be like, okay, I will. And then obviously he doesn't. And, you know, he's a little bit bigger than me. So like me pushing him in his sleep, like he doesn't always move. And sometimes I record him just to like let him know, like, here's what you're doing to me. Like, this is why I couldn't sleep last night. Or like, I am going to get some earplugs or, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to do. But the other night I woke up I had a text message from Zach. It was a video, and I played it, and it was literally just me snoring. And it was so funny because it's like, it could have been a video of him. Like, that's the exact, like, that's the level of sound that it was. And do I feel bad? It's like, no. Am I embarrassed? Like, no. I'm just, like, more so shocked that I snore now. And it's crazy because I only sleep on my side. And obviously, like, sometimes in the night I fall, like, on my back and then I turn on my side again. You know, I have my whole pregnancy pillow and all my pillow contraptions. But it's just like so funny. And it's like, is this something that's here to stay? Like, are we just going to be like Mr. and Mrs. Loud Snorer for the rest of our lives? I don't know. I just like, I don't think I can take it because I can't take Zach snoring. So like, I mean, I guess I can't hear myself snore, but like, it just like, then I just, this was something that I had over him, you know, like you snore so loud and I had a bad night's sleep. And now like every night this week, he's like, I really didn't sleep great last night. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, please. It's just so funny because I also, you know, I feel like when you start a relationship, you know, you're always putting on a show. Girls don't go to the bathroom. You know, you just like, you're on your best behavior. And then obviously you get engaged, you get married. And that's what people used to ask me in the early phases of being married. They're like, how's married life? I'm like, it's so great. You know, no one ever got divorced over a burp. You can just really be your truest self. But then it's like you kind of go overboard when you're pregnant because like you have absolutely no control over your body and everything from the snoring now and the gas and, you know, everything that happens to your body. It's like you put in all that work up front to just like, you know, pretend to be prim and proper. And honestly, like the natural way that the human body is, like, will not allow you to be that way. And that's what I just find so funny because I feel like I'm also learning so many new things about myself. Like, I now have the capacity to snore like my husband. And honestly, like, after many years of me dealing with his snoring, I am kind of glad that he now gets to deal with mine because maybe gives him a little taste of his own medicine. But it is just so many crazy things that happen to you during pregnancy. Like last week I was telling you guys about the weird hairs on my belly, and I'm excited to let you know that I finally found a solution. I literally can't tell you the last time I bought a razor. Like, I am the girl that changes the blade out on my husband's and calls it a day. Desperate times call for desperate measures, but I am excited to let you know that I am desperate no more, even though I'm watching Desperate Housewives right now, and it is freaking fantastic. But I have finally embraced self-care, so I'm excited to let you guys know about Athena Club, which offers clean and sustainable self-care products all in one place without the markups. I'm talking feel good, toxin-free essentials like razors, vitamins, probiotics, deodorant, and so much more. It's a one-stop shop for better products made with simple ingredients. And you guys, these products smell divine. The packaging is perfection. And this is coming from someone who has spent her entire career in marketing. I was so impressed, and that's why I'm thrilled to share Athena Club with all of you. I have the razor in rose. It actually makes me want to shave because it's mine now. It's pink. It has this awesome magnetic holder that I put up in my shower for easy use. And my husband has fully moved the moisturizer to his nightstand, so I don't think he plans on sharing it with me anymore. The body wash is so creamy and has this amazing coconut smell. I just can't say enough good things about these products. And what I also love about Athena Club is the option for subscription and subscription customization. So I can order as much or as little as I need each month, and it's all shipped to my door. Subscriptions start at just $8 a month. The team at Athena Club believes you should never have to stress about what's going on or around your body. And that's why I love them, because I absolutely love that mantra. Sign up today. You'll get 15% off your first order. Just go to athenaclub.com and use promo code LIV. That's athenaclub.com with promo code LIV for 15% off. So my friends, that is the big three. As always, I will continue to share every waking thought on my mind with all of you. But now for the real treat, Mr. Andy Grammer joining us on Maternity Live.
Andy Grammer, welcome to Maternity Live. I have actually a hilarious story for you because we've met before.
Okay.
And we met, it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was in Sonoma at the Ramsgate Winery. You were playing a gig for a bunch of like corporate marketing hacks that I happened to be a part of. And it was fantastic. And you were fantastic. And then just so funny, when you went on the Morning Toast, I went and dug up those photos and I sent them to my sisters. I was like, I met him before. He's amazing. Like, this is
just awesome.
So full circle. So now that you're also here on Maternity Live, it's like the full circle has gone around like a couple times.
So great.
So great.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, you were fantastic.
Your family
and you're
is
fantastic.
So fun.
Yeah. So fun. By the way, your family is so fun.
Yeah, we're pretty fun too.
I just enjoy like watching everybody kind of like grow up and like grow together. And now you have two beautiful girls. I have so many questions for you on just like fatherhood and parenting, but I'm just going to start at like the very beginning and the thing that's like weighing on my mind so much, which is naming.
Yeah. I love the naming process. It's funny. Like before I even start, I'm like, do I let you guys know how weird I am? I guess so. This is what it is.
100%.
So I think that naming can be like almost a spiritual thing where you kind of like read the tea leaves and see what comes to you. And then when you put that out in the world, you will get back fun things. It's kind of like if you've never, when you go to buy it, when you're like starting to look to buy a car, everybody started this analogy. You're like, all right, I'm going to try a Ford. And then all you see on the roads is Fords.
Right.
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 I think there's some of that happens with the naming process. With Louisiana, it was just my favorite place. I tour and I go to different cities all the time. And so when I landed in New Orleans and there was so much joy there, I feel like New Orleans has the US's top shelf joy. Like if you're going to go get a drink somewhere and someone's like, "Oh, give me your best joy," we'd be like, "Go to New Orleans." And so I feel like we named her Joy, but with my word Louisiana, because right. I'm someone that travels a lot. And then this is something I would say to all of your podcast listeners, because this is something that I haven't heard of other people doing, but it made a huge difference for me, is when you come up with the name, and now I've done this for my godson as well, make a playlist, go on Spotify and find all the songs that surround this name. So the playlist has to have either the name has to be in the song or the name has to be in the artist. So I made Amazing. 30 songs of Louisiana and it has a vibe. Like it's awesome. It's like all jazzy and fun and dope. And then we played that for her in the womb so that when she comes out, then when we were trying to get her to calm down or like be quiet or just like it's sleepy time or just cozy time, you put on this playlist and she's been listening to it for so long. It's really, really sweet.
Amazing.
And then for Israel, oh my God, Israel is so cool because once we settled on this name, I knew I was going to do the playlist thing again. And I'm like, Israel, this could be like a lot of minor chord dark stuff for this playlist. And but it was so sweet because the first name that came up when I typed in Israel into Spotify was the Hawaiian guy who sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard his version? It's so
I feel
good.
Like I know what you're talking about, but I'm definitely going to go listen after
yes.
this episode.
Go listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I think is so fun around kids is that it just makes you so emotional, especially the first kid, over sweet small things. So I remember I was in the Chicago airport and I just started making the playlist there, and when I typed it in and that song came on, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, it like hit me like a ton of bricks because I had gotten to sing Imagine by John Lennon mm-hmm. in Times Square as the ball dropped.
Wow.
Like someone always sings that song right before the ball drops, and about 3 years ago it was my turn, not my turn, whatever, they asked me to do it. I was like, this sounds amazing. So I went and sang Imagine, the ball drops, Times Square erupts, everybody freaks out, there's confetti everywhere. And as the confetti's falling, Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Israel, I gotta learn the rest of his name. It's like a billion consonants, Kamakawaka something.
Amazing.
And so that moment to me was like so special. So it stayed in me as, oh, New York City, everyone peaceful and calm and loving each other with confetti falling, singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. So then when that memory tied with her name now. So we have rainbows all over my house and we have a whole playlist. So this is what I said. My advice naming would be just like have fun with it and give in to the wildness of it.
Oh,
you know,
I love
Israel,
that.
Israel Blue is because my wife kept seeing a blue jay the whole time. So Israel Blue, that's what it is. It's like really fun.
So fun.
Some people might think that's like too hippie or too weird or something. But I think when you give over to it, then you'll get signs back, and it's really such a beautiful process.
Totally, you know, because that's like what we're going through right now in the naming process. And like, we had a name from the beginning, but to your point, like, I kept seeing it everywhere, but not in the way that was like affecting me. It was like, it felt like it was almost like too commercial, too used. And so I was like having this like internal, you know, like struggle with myself where I'm just like, okay, I think like maybe we need to go in a different route. And I also think that it's like, when you say the name, like we call the baby the name all the time, and I'm starting to like not like it. And I'm like, okay, well, if I'm not liking it after like 7 months, I think that, you know, in when she's seven, I'm going to like want to change her name. I'm like, okay, we can't do that. So
yes,
I totally hear that. I loved what you touched upon in terms of playing music when they're in the womb, and people talk about doing that and they say, you know, it makes the baby smarter and all these things, but it's like, I feel like for you and your wife, like music is so intrinsically a part of your life that like you would do it regardless of what they say to do, just because like you're surrounded by music 24/7.
Yeah. And it's also like a sweet way to process what you're going through. It's just a lot of stuff happening. You're very excited. You don't know what's happening. You're heading into parenthood. It's amazing. And to have this, have some music that encapsulates that time for you is really cool. It's kind of like when you, the music that you love in high school always reminds you of high school.
Right.
You have this batch of songs that feel like birth to you. That's really cool.
Totally. And then how are you thinking about that as a parent? Like, obviously you guys are around music all the time. The kids are around music, but you're not necessarily going to like shove music down their throat unless they want to take it up. Do you find that like, because they're around it, like they want to learn instruments, they want to sing and they want to be involved? Or do you see them taking up things that have nothing to do with music, maybe like dance or sports?
Well, my daughter is 2.5 and I think she'll probably do a lot more than music, but right now she wakes up and sings from the moment that she wakes up.
Amazing.
She goes to sleep. It's really cute.
I can imagine.
I think you just, you know, they're going to follow what you do. They're going to do everything you do.
Yeah.
So it's really sweet. You can try to control it, but who you are is a lot of what you're going to get in the early years.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So speaking, we'll just stay on Louisiana for now because she just became a big sister. So congratulations to you and your wife and your family. I'm just so excited for you guys. And how are you finding her? Like, do you think that she's like naturally moving into big sister phase? Cause you know, I'm a big sister and I feel like I was born for the role. And my mom always tells stories that when my sister Jackie was born, that like, I never left Jackie's side. I never like didn't take a snack. If Jackie didn't get a snack, if I didn't have a pacifier, Jackie had the pacifier. So it's like, how are you seeing her like kind of grow into that big sister, you know, role?
It's really sweet. What I wasn't prepared for was feeling a little sad. That sounds weird, but I wasn't really ready to feel a little bit of loss for just her as the main center of attention. Yeah. Now we have this new baby and it's a huge shift. So it's really beautiful and she's actually doing incredible at it. She's struggling a little bit, but none of it's directed at the baby. She loves the baby. She wanted, you know, one of the sweetest things ever was when I said it was time to go meet her sister. She said, can I put on my Belle dress? And she got all dressed up as Belle and she wanted to give her a toy. And it's like, it makes me want to cry even thinking about how sweet that is. And so she has jumped into the role like you're talking about, which is really awesome. But also a mixture of a whole new entity that takes a lot of attention and this quarantine thing. She's been, you know, having a little bit of extra tantrums every now and then. Totally. But she's doing really, really good. She's doing incredible.
Well, speaking of the quarantine, you're usually on the road.
Yeah.
So how, like, previous to quarantine, were you balancing being on the road and, you know, being a musician and doing everything that you're doing and then also, like, you know, having family time? Do you ever feel, like, stress or anxiety, like, you are being pulled in both directions? Or, like, how do you balance and manage your own time?
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of help, which kind of made the whole thing run. So that there was enough kind of ecosystem here that if I needed to run out for a day or two and then come home, that's what I do mostly, is go out for 4 days, come home, go out for 2 days, come home. Then we'll do one usually long tour for the year.
You're like a traveling salesman, you know?
Traveling salesman. I go sell, like, I sing my songs and stuff. So with the quarantine thing, and most of our help just shrunk. So it's a lot on I had to really step up in a lot of domestic stuff, and that's been really challenging and sweet, and there's been a lot of growth. You know, for me, I really enjoy doing big, grand, huge things. Let me go sing as the ball drops in Times Square. I'm good at that.
Right.
When it comes to, can you keep the kitchen clean? That's really hard for me.
It's just really hard in general.
It's just really hard. No one's, you know, I right now have the toddler and the baby, so my wife can sleep a little bit because the baby doesn't sleep very much, every day from 6 to 9 a.m. And by the time that 9 a.m. hits, if somehow the house is not completely destroyed, that means that I've been doing a lot the whole time. And then someone comes down or somebody comes in the door and it's not like, oh my God, great job, you nailed it. It's like, yeah, it looks kind of shitty.
Totally.
I'm like, you don't understand what I've done. So it's a little bit of daddy daycare and really re-understanding and re-appreciating how much work goes into just keeping kids alive and stuff.
Totally.
You
know, I think in the beginning of this quarantine, like, people were making jokes that, like, you know, you're either going to come out with a baby or a divorce, right? Just because of the climate and being together. And I kind of have a new perspective on it now where I said this to my husband the other night. He got like a little upset, but I really meant it so lovingly. And I was like, I know if we can make it through this quarantine, like, we will be together forever. Cause it's just like, you're together all the time and every like house chore, and we're both working in the same, you know, 1,000 square feet. We're on top of each other. We watch every single show and whatnot, have every conversation together, every meal together. And it's like, okay, like, if we can do this, like, we can continue to sustain. So I feel like I am like learning how to actually be a better partner and communicator because we are together 24/7.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
Totally.
And there's some real sweetness to the idea that I probably wouldn't have had the consistency for as long as I'm going to have it of being with my daughter for so much of the day, all day long. So we're pretty tight. And the little one, you know, it's like, you don't know what actually goes in, but I'm pretty sure that she'll feel that I was holding her a lot and the love is steady and strong for a very long time, which is, there's real sweetness in that amidst all the craziness.
How are you dealing with like not being able to have like all the extended friends and family around that you would have had around just having a newborn in the house?
Yeah, that hurts me. My wife is psyched. She's got the perfect excuse that no one can come in. Last time I wanted that, you know, I wanted to have a party every day because I was home and I wanted everybody to come over and hang out, and she didn't want that. She needed some time to recover. Yeah. So this has been really, this is her best case scenario, really.
Yeah.
No one's allowed over. It's great. Yeah.
Amazing.
So funny.
So speaking of your own parenthood, fatherhood journey, what is your favorite part of being a dad?
My favorite part of being a dad is, it kind of goes back to the idea that what really makes us happy, this is a theory of mine that's not mine, it's like any spiritual teacher ever will tell you that what really makes you happy is doing something for someone else. So if you do something for yourself, it feels good. But if you do something for somebody else, that's really what makes you happy. So parenting is forcing you. It's like a forcible, selfless gym that happens 24 hours a day. So you realize that while, you know, a lot of what's fun on the internet is to be like snarky about how parenting is difficult and how your kid won't eat food. And we all get to communicate that way. But that lends itself to just an overall joy and happiness because you're being of service to someone else all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time.
Like, but it's also, to your point earlier, and you're being of service to somebody all the time, and it's a thankless job.
And it's a thankless
until
job.
Your kids grow up and really become parents themselves, like, no one says thank you. I mean, I don't say thank you. You know, it's like circle of life.
You will see that in every stage, you will enjoy it. So say when you're 8, you really like Halloween. I promise if on a scale of 1 to 10 enjoyment, say the Halloween was awesome that year, it's an 8. Watching your kid enjoy Halloween is always a 10.
Yeah.
So you're always, it's always better than actually going through it. And that is so, so, so sweet. And then there's all these other sweet things of the word responsibility got really cool, because it's my responsibility to teach her what a whole side of, like, a whole gender is. I'm her like first touch point to what men are supposed to be.
Right.
And the way that I interact with her and the way that I teach her what love is, she will use that as the bar for everybody else. That's pretty cool. It makes every interaction that you have with her pack so much power. You're like an ambassador for men.
Totally. Do you have like a dad community? Like, are you in a dad group where all the dads, like, either if they have like sons or daughters, like, in the responsibility that they feel to be like a good role model for these kids as they grow up?
Yeah. So I'm a member of the Baha'i Faith. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's a world religion based on the unity of religions. Amazing. And so some of the, we have like we've been doing Skypes with all the dads, just seeing how they're doing and talking stuff down. Specifically the idea of dad to daughter, that's because what I'm going through.
Right.
I love it. You know, I've done a couple posts on social media of, tell me something your dad, if you're a girl, you're an expert on dads. Every girl is. You tell me something really sweet your dad did for you. And then I just read them all. Before I had my first daughter, this is something I would say anybody who's listening to your podcast, if you're having something of the opposite sex, for you, do you know if you're having a boy or a girl?
We're having a girl.
A girl.
Yeah.
So sweet.
I mean, in my family, I guess it's not surprising that we're having a girl. Like, it was just the four of us girls always growing up. Like, I should have known from the start. I think, like, initially we thought we were going to have a boy just because it would be like, well, of course we're going to have a boy because there's so many girls. But it's like, no, like, that gender gene just runs through and through. So yeah. I don't know who the hell we're kidding.
What I'd say is it's really sweet to be intentional about learning things. So I wrote an email to, I just sat down, thought of 10 women in my life that I really respected and would like love if my daughter turned out to be like them. Oh. And I wrote them and I said, can you tell me the best thing your dad did and the worst thing your dad did? So I can like get a sense of what your dad's like.
Love that.
From these women that I love and I respect.
Yeah.
You're awesome. What does your dad do?
Yeah.
And then you just get all the sweet information. Like, it's not hard. You just get a little bit inquisitive. You get a little bit, something my mother, I had like an incredible mother, just the best. She passed away a while ago, about 11 years ago. But what she was always doing for me was kind of seeing a little bit ahead of the road. How are you doing? What do you need? What's going on with you? She was very inquisitive about helping me get the pieces to be a well-rounded person.
Yeah.
And so I love to study from other people who are awesome. Like, what did your dad do? And I'll just like ask women anywhere. I'll be sitting at a restaurant and it's like a very sweet, sitting with my daughter, because I take her out on little lunch dates, I used to. And if there's a woman sitting alone, I'll be like, how was your dad? And you can tell in 0.0 seconds whether they had a good dad or a bad dad.
Everyone's got a story.
It's like really hard to fake that you had a bad dad. You know, totally. People go like, well, you know, he was fine. Oh my God, my dad was the best person. I'll be like, tell me everything. What?
Amazing.
Why was he so good? What did he do? Tell me some things. So the advice that I would give is just get really inquisitive with the people that you respect.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the best piece of advice or like the best story from one of those encounters?
Okay. So the information that I got back from the email was really sweet, because these are all women that I love and I really respect, and I want my daughter to grow up to be like them. And they all wrote very different things for positive. The positive was really all these sweet ideas of, he didn't treat me like a girl. He treated me like I could be anything.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. There's a lot of those. And then the one that came back as the negative was, he was too strict and it made me feel like he didn't trust me. But so many of the 10 wrote that.
Interesting.
So what I took from it, whether it's fair or not, was like, that's one of the main things that's similar between each one of these women that I respect, is that they had a strict father. So I took that as like, okay, maybe I should be kind of strict. There's a piece to that that's like kind of important, it seems.
Do you think there's like an age thing around that? Not to be an ageist by any means, but I would assume that some of the people that you like, that you asked, are closer in age to you. I feel like parenting has really evolved. And I also feel like and maybe this is just in my own mind or in my own circle, but like, I feel like, you know, being an equal partner, 50-50, motherhood, fatherhood, household chores, and all that sort of stuff is so much more encouraged and accepted now versus some of these like traditional, you know, family where the mom stays home and the dad goes to work. And so I almost wonder if that has changed fatherhood too, in terms of like, I mean, just in having this conversation with you, like I couldn't gather like how strict you would be. So I would say like in, you know, 20 years from now, like I don't, your daughter's definitely not going to say that about you, but I wonder if it were 20 years ago, like how different things were then.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. That's very fun. What would she say about me? I think when it comes to important things, I get pretty intense. Yeah. And then I'm like fun again. And then I'm fun. And it's really funny because now she can speak and articulate it. And when I get intense about something, she goes like, are you a nice person?
Oh my goodness.
Are you a nice person? And I'm like, not if you're trying to run near the street. I'm like, not a nice person.
Right. Does she know the things that are like super important to you?
Yeah, she knows. She knows. You know, we did sleep training, which is freaking hard.
Yeah.
But for us, it's worked really well. We have one of those little clocks that's like turns red, is red through the night and then turns green at 6 a.m. So she's allowed to come out of her bed. Awesome. So there's just like a lot of holding the line about stuff because they'll push you to where you're not a nice person for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you are.
Before we continue with this interview, I just want to remind all of my followers about the smartest towel ever made, Mizzou. Mizzou is guaranteed to stay 99.9% bacteria-free forever, and you can get Mizzou bath towels and hand towels at MizzouTowel.com, MizzouTowel.com. These towels are so chic and they're so soft. They have a color-changing stripe that detects impurities like sweat, dirt, and grime. And they're also made from one of the softest cottons on earth. So it's perfect for baby and it's perfect for mom because you can actually share the towel knowing if and when it is actually dirty. The best thing about Mizzou is the feeling of knowing that you're clean after you use it. If you're having second thoughts about your own towel, go to MizzouTowel.com and get 60% off. They're having a 50% off sale, and I can offer you a 10% coupon with code LIVE at MizzouTowel.com. MizzouTowel.com for 60% off and free shipping with code LIVE at checkout.
So with things like sleep training, I talk about this a lot because I feel like there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people and their opinions and their ways of doing things. And what I love about you guys is that you recently were open about the fact that you did a home birth. And I just feel like you're totally doing things your own way. How do you come to figure out like the things that you want to do and how you want to do them, like the sleep training? How do you get the information that helps you understand like this is what's going to be best for us?
Yeah, I mean, my wife is incredible at all that. She does way more research than I do. The home birth specifically was so sweet.
Yeah.
I feel there's a little bit of disinformation about that. I feel like you think that to do a home birth, you would have to be so granola and so against science and so airy-fairy. And that was not my experience at all. And there's not a lot of mainstream talk of a lot of the real benefits that come from doing something like this in your home. Right. For one, it was so much sweeter of an experience. Just on a sweetness spiritual level, it was really, really, really sweet.
Yeah.
My whole house is like consecrated now. Every room, oh my God, my baby came here. This is wild. And the hospital, they're so sweet. Like they're really, it's not like they're bad or mean or difficult. It's just a very different setting to bring a life into the world.
1,000,000%.
So that's been really interesting to at least see both sides. You know, I think the quarantine has led some people to kind of check it out a little bit more because they don't want to go near the hospital.
That's what I was going to say too. And also like in places like New York, they had since reversed it, but they weren't allowing support partners in the delivery room. So a lot of people have really upended their delivery situations. And even people were encouraging me to look into home birth. To be honest with you, I didn't even know where to begin to look because I've been trying to be very responsible about the information that I get and where I get it from, because I'm a big proponent of like, don't Google anything because you'll just like go absolutely mad. But I just love that you guys have been open about doing things differently and like what a wonderful experience it's been versus like being, you know, pigeonholed into a corner for like doing something a certain way when most people
sure, and we did
that way.
The first, the first birth was a C-section in a hospital.
Yeah.
And it was fine. It totally worked. I think what a lot of people misunderstanding is that if you're going to do a home birth, you have to do it. It has to happen at home no matter what. It's just not true.
Right.
You're doing a home birth. If something is like, this is a problem. We're struggling. Things don't seem to be moving along. You go to the hospital.
Right.
So that right there takes out a lot of, like, if we're having trouble, oh my God, let's go do it.
Right.
But women for forever have been able to give birth this way. And it's really sweet. And the experience for us was way, way better. So I don't think it should be either or. But right now it seems like the general consensus is you're insane if you do a home birth. And I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that either. I mean, I think people like think that you're insane if you do things a certain way, regardless, like if you breastfeed, don't breastfeed. If you sleep train, don't sleep train, potty train this way, that way, you know, everybody has rules for things. And I'm trying to be like anti the rules, like whatever works for me is what I'm going to do. I don't give a shit how other people do it. And I just applaud you for doing it your own way in a way that like feels good for you and having,
you're applauding my wife. I barely.
You guys, that's But as a family, you know, like I think those are the decisions you make together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for my wife specifically, I think it's a very unique choice. For my wife specifically, the recovery was so much better.
Really?
You know, a C-section is like surgery, so it took her a while to come back, and this was way, way better.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
And I actually caught her. Holy crap! What an experience!
Amazing.
Get the hell out of here. That was amazing.
That's wild. And then did you also cut the umbilical cord, of course?
Sure, yeah, totally. It was so nuts. Cool.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Sweet.
Okay, and then let me just ask one question. Are we going for a boy at some point in the future? Are you loving the girls?
I don't even care. The girls are so freaking sweet.
Oh.
I think I'll try to get her to do another one. We'll see. I can't talk about it for a while.
Well, you got your hands full.
If I give it a minute, you know, it's so funny because even like every day right now, being in quarantine, having to be so tightly connected to a baby that cries through the night. She needs to eat every like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So she'll hit you at night, then you wake up and the toddler will get you. So by the time you get to night, you're really wrecked for the night to wake up all through the night. So we're kind of in it right now.
Yeah.
But even so, I would love another one.
But did you know that you were always going to like, or did you always want to be a girl dad? Did people ever say that to you? Like people always like said
my mom.
Really?
My mom did it. I remember when I was.
Do you have any sisters? I don't.
I played high school basketball and we would always run the camp. The high schoolers would run the camp for like the middle schoolers. And I would always get the girl squad. And my mom was always laughing. I was the girls coach. And she's like, you're going to get all the girls. You're going to get a lot of girls. So she's passed away. Who knows? Maybe she pulls strings up there to make sure I'm getting all these girls.
Totally. I love that.
Pretty great. Do you know what I love to tell people who are about to have kids is, you know, you've been on the earth for a while and you haven't met your favorite person yet.
Oh, I love that.
Like your favorite person in the world. You haven't even met him yet. You've had this whole life that's awesome. And you're the person you're going to like the most. You haven't met yet.
Well, that's what people really say, like, about becoming a parent. It's like, this is, like, when your whole life begins, like, from right now. Like, the rest of it, like, everything that happened before was, like, nice and great. But, like, this is where it really starts.
You get to do it all over again, the whole thing, from a different vantage point. It's really sweet.
Is there anything different that you're doing with Israel that you did or didn't do with Louisiana? Any lessons learned?
I think one of the reasons that, and this is no shade, that younger siblings are cooler than older siblings.
Thank you.
Is because they just come into a tornado. They come in sharing.
Yeah.
So there's less preciousness about stuff because you can't, you know, you don't have anything to lose. You're coming into a whole tornado and you have to, you come in sharing, which I think makes you a little bit, there's like an ease to it.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing with her is just being less precious about every little thing that she does, which is like sad in one sense, but it's what's going to make her cool. I can't stare at you, just like stare at your eyes. Oh my God, put that down, right?
Right.
like every second that you're trying to do something, another one is been too quiet for too long, and that's terrible. There's peanut butter on everything, or she's shat somewhere, or it's like, you're juggling
Totally. And you only have two hands and two eyes and two legs, and that's it. Hands.
And so I think that's probably going to be a pattern here, which is good. It's good for people. Good for the young. Totally. I also feel like I understand my older brother better. I have one older brother.
Oh, interesting.
And going through the process of seeing what it's like for him, because watching my older daughter, I'm like, oh, I get you a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because I had to see your side of things, you know. And then with this second one, I understand her too, because I went through it.
Right. Does your older brother have kids?
Yeah, he's got two.
And what's the relationship like with the cousins? Are they just like one big bunch?
Yeah. And my wife's brother has two kids too. So when they all get together, it's wild.
Wild.
How many kids?
So yeah. Fun though. You know, it's like a built-in friendship system. So, you know,
I'm like a really spiritual dude, and I question around 30. I was either going to, like, I needed something new. I always need new things.
Yeah.
And either I was going to go make a family or just start trying drugs. Cause I'm like, what else? We need more things here. You got to we got to keep going. At 30, if I was lucky enough to have a little bit of success, cool. I've made some money. I've eaten like the nicest thing on the menu at a restaurant. Like, what else are we doing here?
Right.
Where am I growing? What's happening? And kids are the only thing that I would like to invest in right now, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think I saw a video of you and your wife telling the story of how you met and that you were friends for a couple of years. And then like one day kind of just like all clicked together. Was this like kind of around the same moment where you were just like, I'm looking for more in my life?
No, that was at the beginning of, like, she saw me right when I was street performing. So we were both in hustle mode.
Love it.
I mean, we were friends in college, and then we started to come together a little bit after college.
And was that at Binghamton?
Binghamton was before I met her. So I grew up in New York.
My husband went to Binghamton. He wanted me to ask you because I feel like you're actually the coolest person that went to Binghamton in like the last like 15 years, you know?
Dude, Binghamton, that was fun. Cause
he's like a hater. Like, he hates that he went there. Like, he liked his friends, but like, it's just
listen,
like,
guys,
it's not indicative of like who he is, you know? Hey,
for a state school, you had to be pretty good. I think it was the highest grades for a state school, but yes.
It was.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, you're from the tri-state area, which is like, I feel like I would never really think that about you. Cause you give me like such a more like Southern country sort of vibe. Which is such a compliment because, you know, like New Yorkers who just from the tri-state area can be like a little rough around the edges, myself included. But
I've been in LA for a while. I've been in LA for a long time. So that kind of smooths you out a little bit.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Man, it's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for you. You're really going to enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited for you guys and your growing family. I can't wait to follow along. And I just love everything that you share between your family and your music, and just really, especially during this quarantine time, just lifts people up in a way to just know that like, there's so much like beauty and light and love in the world. And I feel like now I'm hearing that like, that's how you got to the names for your daughters too. Just all so makes so much makes sense with you, Andy Grammer.
Yeah, it's a really sweet time, surprisingly, to have a baby.
You know,
we had one right in the midst of it. So, you know, it was stressful because, like you said, they were talking about if something did go wrong, we had to go to the hospital.
Right.
Maybe I wouldn't be allowed to go. There was all this craziness. We're like spending 2 hours to wipe down our groceries before they come. There was a lot going on.
I can imagine.
And then the baby came and it kind of centered us in a really sweet way. Yeah. So to all the moms that are listening, about to have a baby, you're about to feel centered. Know that.
That is a wonderful thing to look forward to. And you're going to have a baby. Andy Grammer, thank you for joining us on Maternity Live. It was an honor and a pleasure to have you. What a fun conversation.
So sweet. Thank you, guys. If you like anything about me, check out my podcast. It's called The Good Parts, and we dig into kind of like spiritual questions with a lot of my friends. So I like to ask people. So I'll ask you before I go.
Go.
Something I would ask you if you're on my podcast. What happens when we die?
Ooh, I'm going to give like a long, sordid, complicated answer, but So you were saying that your mom passed away 11 years ago. Our dad passed away a little over 11 years ago, which really mm-hmm. kind of like shook me, you know, just as a person. I feel like the person that I am today is so much because of that experience, because I went to college like right after, and I just kind of felt like all these things were changing in my life, and I can't believe that like I'm doing this with like out my dad here. And I just really became fixated on the notion that everything happens for a reason. It just became a guiding light in my life that I was like, anything bad and even things that are good, like they are happening because everything is part of a larger plan. And so there's this song by Coldplay called Strawberry Swing. It's not one of their most, yeah. you know, known songs, but the way that I imagine what happens when you die is that we go to a place that looks exactly like Strawberry Swing, where it's just like, I imagine like hammocks made out of like strawberries, you know, just this like beautiful, ethereal, heavenly place where everybody just kind of similarly recreates their life here, but just like kind of in another alternative, beautiful universe. And so when I was in college and I was like having, you know, I was just grieving all the time, I was in a creative writing workshop, and they actually asked us to take a song and make like a short story about it. And so I wrote about this place called Strawberry Swing, which was like my idea of kind of like what heaven is. And I just yeah. have always now for my whole life, like that's just how I imagine what heaven is. It's Strawberry Swing.
I love it. That's yeah. fantastic. Strawberry Swing. Perfect.
Amazing. Andy Grammer, amazing. You are fantastic.
Thank you for having
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Good luck. I can't wait to see your baby.
Good luck to you too. I know. And then we'll have our babies meet and all the girls will be friends and it will be so fantastic.
Perfect. I love it.
Perfect. Perfect.
Sweet. Amazing. Nice talking to you, dear.
Nice talking to you too.
Wow, what a fun and exciting conversation. As always, you guys, thank you for joining me on another episode of Maternity Live. As always, you can email me, maternitylivepod@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group, Maternity Livers. DM me, subscribe, leave a review. Would always love to hear from all of you. Until next time, bye everyone.